Welcome to the Bee's Knees of Disney. Today's episode, I am talking about The Sword in the Stone, 1963. This movie I had seen actually quite a bit growing up. It was one of those movies I gravitated towards. So I've seen it many times, but this is the first time that I had watched it in a while, maybe even since around that time. And I think this movie changed a lot for me on the second viewing, for sure. So I have a lot to say about this one. I'm excited to get started with The Sword in the Stone. So The Sword in the Stone is based on the legend of King Arthur. This was a very young king, I believe, who became king by pulling a sword from a stone, as the legend goes, King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table. So this movie is loosely based on that legend. I will emphasize loosely based. However, it is based on this person. So to start from the beginning of the movie, it starts off a very traditional Disney opening with a storybook. This kind of goes away from what 101 Dalmatians had just done, which was animate the opening. So they're kind of going back to this traditional, you know, show the credits at the beginning, then open up a book and start narrating the story. Even though I did enjoy the 101 Dalmatians opening for it being different, this opening I actually thought was one of the strongest parts of the movie. It starts with a song, kind of singing what's going on. Explaining what's happening in England. The king has died. There's no heir to the throne. So a miracle happens where a sword appears with an anvil, and whoever can pull the sword becomes the new king. And so many people try this. It does not happen. No one is able to pull the sword. And so years go by without England having a king, and sort of it's in turmoil, and there needs to be leadership. I really liked this opening because it framed the story, but another reason is I thought it had a very whimsical feeling to it. I liked that the song was nice tune, and it kind of carried it through, and it did make it feel very, like, magical. Like, this legend was real, almost, you know, and that it kind of created this intrigue into the story and what would happen. I say that because I feel like the movie sort of loses this soon after. And this is kind of my main complaint of the movie. So right after this storybook opening, we understand what's going on. This sword, if it's pulled, they will become king, the person. We're kind of thrown into, we're introduced to Merlin, who is also a character in other works, I believe. I've seen him in other, he's a wizard from another time, I guess. None of this is really explained as well. So he is kind of a wizard living with a talking owl named Archimedes, who are both fine characters, but not much is explained about them, why they're there, what they're doing. Merlin explains that he's awaiting this boy to come because he can kind of see the future, that he's going to come fall through the roof. And this character is Arthur, who's just a kind of a boy orphan who lives with this kind of guy who lived. I don't even know how to. There's not much said about these characters. A lot of this movie is sort of assumed, like, not all of it is explained or has a purpose. Like, Merlin's just there, you know, and it's not explained why he's there per se. Well, we can assume it's because of this Arthur and guiding him, which is kind of the premise of the movie. But then you have the family he lives with, which I don't know how to explain it, but it's just a dad and a son who kind of take him in. Now, they don't treat him right. They kind of make him the maid of the house, clean up, kind of yell at him a lot for doing wrong things. And he's kind of a meek kid, not very super secure in himself, kind of makes mistakes. So we're introduced to him this way. He meets Merlin. Now, this is when Merlin kind of goes into his whole thing with education. Going back to this note of it's not really explained. So Merlin is just kind of trying to educate Arthur throughout the movie, saying, you know, you need to study Latin and mathematics and all this stuff, biology, which is not a you know, that's a good thing for someone to learn. But it's never really explained why he's doing this. What's the purpose of him being educated? Just saying we need to do it and you need to be educated the right way, because Arthur's more interested in being a knight and his, you know, stepbrother or whatever, trying to like be his squire, his servant. And he's saying, you know, that's not the path you want to go. You want to be studying and learning things. And he's just always, Merlin's always trying to like make him, give him information about the future, which doesn't make any sense really. Like, oh, they're going to be flying and they're going to be using trains and all this stuff. And it's never really explained why he's telling this 11-year-old all these things that are probably just more so confusing him about the world and what it's going to become. And it's just a little strange that he's really bent on doing this. And so this movie, not the very beginning, because I thought the very beginning was strong and set a good tone, but the tone of the movie after that is sort of, the best word I can use is goofy. It's just a little kind of just slapstick comedy, funny, not really seriously taken, just kind of like funny things happening, you know, animals. There's this wolf character trying to catch them and he's always getting hit in the head, and it's funny at first, but it plays for kids, you know. And I said at the beginning of this, I watched this a lot as a kid, and for sure this is one of those that kids, and obviously so it affected me this way, you know. It appeals to kids, and like I say almost every episode, Disney movies have the power to be powerful for both kids and adults. And for this one especially, for most of the movie, it just plays more towards a kid audience, kind of a goofy slapstick funny haha, you know, giggling kind of moments throughout. And I think that's where I really felt this movie was trying to go. Because honestly, this movie didn't feel like it had a singular purpose. So you understand that someone's going to pull the sword from the stone. And maybe the audience can deduce that it's going to be this Arthur kid. But all the wizard, basically the bulk of the movie is Merlin trying to teach him just about life, I guess, and all sorts of things, just everything basically. And it separates itself into three parts, and he's always changing him into an animal. So at first he changes him into a fish, then he changes him into a squirrel, and then he changes him into a bird. And this mostly, as a kid, it's cool. You're like, oh, he's changing into different animals. He's going through all these different things. And so as an audience member, that can be really enjoyable. These kind of different worlds, different kind of imagination or fantasies that people can like see on the screen. But as a movie, it just kind of feels gimmicky. Once again, I keep saying, like, what's the point of all that? It didn't really make sense. Why? First of all, why would you send, once again, this kid's 11 years old, you're sending him into these really dangerous situations where he has no idea about the, you know, predators in the water or the air or the forest. And it just, like, it feels a little gimmicky, because it's like, you know what's going to happen. So he's going to turn into this fish. This is what happens. He turns into a fish. And of course, there's this huge, like, barracuda in the moat and tries to eat them. And there's an action sequence. And very predictable. And you're like, you know, that was interesting and fun to watch, I guess. But what was the point of it? So with the fish thing, he's trying to teach him, like, use his instincts or think through a problem. He's basically trying to make him use his brain more than anything. He does this throughout the movie. He wants him to be, you know, an intellectual, you know, think through problems. And I think there could have been an interesting connection there where he's teaching him how to be intellectual and think through problems because he knows he's going to be a king and he'll have to make decisions and stuff like that. But I didn't really get that connection in the movie. I suppose you could make that yourself. But, you know, I think the best movies, and certainly the Disney movies have done this, have made that connection a little more apparent. So throughout the movie, it feels more like he's just doing it because he feels like everyone should be this way. Everyone should be smart and think this way. And it's not thoroughly explained why or the purpose behind it, or Merlin doesn't make it very clear. So you basically have this vignette, and then you go into another one with the squirrel, which is of a different lesson because these squirrels like fall in love with them as they're squirrels and teaching them about love and the power of it. But because of this way that the movie is sort of set up, I feel like it's boring. Because there's no central, like, it doesn't have that central push or, like, story. It's like you're thrown in with these characters and it's like, okay, this wizard's helping Arthur, or he's teaching Arthur how to be a better person or more educated or smarter or whatever. And you don't really know for what. And it just kind of goes from one thing to the next. Now this is your next lesson. And like I said, this is not a horrible idea. But I feel like I'm used to, in Disney movies, in any movie, I need, you know, a story, a centralized purpose, and like building up to something, because it doesn't really build up to anything. It kind of loses momentum any time one of these segments ends. And then you're thrown back to Arthur kind of being with his family, who doesn't like him and makes him do more work. And then Merlin bails him out by doing some magic stuff. And then he gets out. So, honestly, the beginning of the movie was really strong, and it just did not tie in until the very end. So, the ending of the movie, the third segment is when Arthur is a bird. He flies to this kind of evil witch made Madame Mim, kind of an evil wizard who captures him. And then there's a wizard duel between her and Merlin. And first of all, this villain has not been introduced till the very end, so you don't really care that much about the stakes. It's sort of built out as this big finale. They're, you know, Merlin's trying to teach, once again, to Arthur, use your brain, don't use your muscle or whatever. Impart his wisdom onto this 11-year-old. And so I feel like it works in the sense like we're closing out this chapter, but it just felt a little anticlimactic and kind of forcing a climax with the two wizards and different styles of magic. And that's kind of the ending of that. But then we get to the ending with the sword and the stone, which I feel, just like the beginning of the movie, this was probably the strongest part of the movie, was the very end. With some hiccups as well, though. So after the break, I'll kind of wrap up this story and then talk a little bit more. I've been kind of ragging on the movie because I think it does struggle a little bit to keep interest of an audience over the age of 12. So I'll talk a little bit more maybe about the positives of this movie, because I don't think it's a horrible movie or anything. It's just definitely not one of the strongest so far in this podcast. So I'll go over that after the break. All right, so when it comes to deep moments, this segment, we're going to sum up the ending, which I think is one of the best parts of the movie. This is when, sort of Merlin and Arthur have a falling out because he says, I'm going to be the squire of his brother, Kale, I think. And Merlin doesn't like this. Like, we've learned all this stuff. Why do you want to be a knight squire? Like, that's not using your brain. So he flies off to Bermuda for some reason. And then it just kind of, they go to the knight's competition, which is explained at the in the earlier part of the film, that this, the winner of this will become king, because they're tired of waiting for someone to pull the sword, because it's not going to happen, is what they think. So they have this competition, and Arthur is actually not allowed to be the squire because he's talking back to his family, and then he is allowed because the kid gets sick or something. So anyway, they're at the knight's competition, and of course he's like, Arthur's like, well, I forgot a sword, which I don't know how you do that, honestly. If he's learned anything in this movie so far, he should know to bring a sword to a knight competition. But anyway, he goes, and of course, conveniently, there is the anvil with the sword. And he goes over to it, and the owl, Archimedes, is there and tells him, like, oh, well, there's a sword. He starts to pull it, and you see this stuff from, like, the heavens, like, going down and making this kind of cool music. And he's like, oh, don't touch it. And then Arthur's like, he needs a sword. So he pulls the sword out of the stone. Which, of course, as the audience, we know that he's supposed to be king, and this is a really big moment. They don't know that. They give the sword over to his family, and they're like, this is not my sword. They look at it. It's like, oh, that's a sword in a stone. And everyone's starting to freak out. Where'd you get this sword? He's like, I got it from that anvil. So they all prove it. Let's see you do it again. A bunch of people start to do it before. They can't do it. And he's like, let him try. It was kind of a cool moment. They kind of recognize that, like, you know, trust that he did it. These strangers or whatever. And he pulls the sword from the stone. And it's kind of a cool moment. Everyone bows down, starts saying, you know, long live the king. The music's cool. The imagery of it is the moment. It's just a shame. I wish, like, the beginning of the very beginning of the movie and the very end of the movie matched up with this, but I don't think anything else in this movie matches. I feel like the middle part, or I would say the majority of the movie, like 90% of the movie, is just kind of meandering and goofy and kind of aimless. There's not really a purpose. You don't feel like it's building up to this ending. The ending just kind of happens. He's the king. He's in his throne. Merlin comes back and he's like, oh yeah, I knew you'd be king. Okay. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just felt like this movie didn't have that structure that really makes some of these movies do well. Because this is a Disney movie. So yes, the animation is good. Good backgrounds, good characters. They have good designs and everything. Now, this is the first time since watching these that I would say this movie might have been a little lazy. I say that because I feel like it didn't feel like it broke new ground, which is one thing, but there's a few other reasons. One is that I would say with almost certainty that they recycled some of the audio where Arthur says, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, they use the exact same audio, like, five different times. And I'm like, I know I heard this before. You just used it. And then there was, like, a part, it's at the end, where he's in the castle. He's, like, talking completely different. He's kind of talking like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then he's like looking for Merlin and his voice completely changes. It's like, Merlin, like he sounds like an 8-year-old when he just sounded like a little older before. And it was just kind of jarring. I mean, most people wouldn't notice, but that lack of polish in this movie, a little lazy, kind of recycling some stuff. It kind of brought the movie down when it wasn't really, high, to begin with for me. And so, unfortunately, I thought, like, I don't know. I don't know what the source material is. I don't know why they kind of went through these trials as being animals and learning these lessons. But I didn't. It didn't really connect. And I feel like this story could have been so much better. I feel like they this legend is so interesting, and there just could have been something much different here going on that would have been more compelling and interesting to watch. And honestly, tied in way more with the idea that this little kid is going to be the king. Because I feel like there's a lesson there. Like, you know, you don't judge someone by their background or their appearance or what they appear to be. It's what's inside that counts. And like, Arthur's supposed to be like, you know, worthy of being a king. So like, I'm making all these connections as an audience member, but I'm not sure if somebody is getting that from this movie. Which is unfortunate, because I think there's a lot there that you could get into. I feel like Merlin is trying to help him become a better king, but that's not really explained. And as a kid, I never got that. And as watching it now, I didn't really get that. So I feel like there's just some missteps here as far as what to do with this story. And then it just felt a little hammy and kind of gimmicky throughout, just to kind of set up some fun things. Like, oh, he's a fish now. He's swimming. Oh, he's a squirrel. And these squirrels are in love with him, and now he's got to run away. Like, it was just kind of set up. It never felt like genuinely like this is what they should be doing, you know, which is fine. I think as a kid's movie, that's not going to deter it, right? It's like what they're seeing. Like, kids aren't looking into it that much. But like I've said, I'm reviewing these Disney movies because I feel like they can be so powerful for kids and adults, and rich and interesting. And they can be, and they have been, mostly throughout this this run. But this one just felt like a kid's movie, was kind of disjointed. And I have, you know, I watched this a lot as a kid. I liked it. I didn't love it. I thought it was a little slow, but I liked it. And I think it does play well to kids, but taking those nostalgia goggles off, I see a movie that's a little disjointed, and just not very well put together. But if there's any positive notes, you know, I do like the character of Merlin, like the idea of a wizard from the future who knows things. That's a very interesting character, and I felt like they did a pretty good job with him. He felt like the best part of the movie. His owl kind of talking, having that attitude, but kind of warming up to Arthur was a nice storyline. None of the other characters really stood out. Arthur even kind of whines a lot. And I know he's 11, but he just was never a super appealing character. But I think those two kind of carried the movie. And they did a good job with those two. So, like I said, I thought the beginning of it was really strong and the very end was very strong. Just the middle part is kind of wandering. It's entertaining. I feel like you definitely get something out of that, like an entertaining value, seeing these animal and different, like, it's kind of gimmicky though. It doesn't really build up, doesn't really centralize it or kind of build on itself. It just kind of moves from one thing to the next. And I kind of felt that. But that's not to say this is a terrible movie. I just think it kind of missed the mark. I thought there could have been some deep parts. The one deep moment I can think of is the very end when he pulls the sword and everyone's bowing down to him and they completely change their view of him. That was a cool moment. And we got to see that, but that was just one moment and it wasn't really tied in with much else. So overall, this movie, honestly, unfortunately, a little disappointing. Not definitely one of the lowest Disney movies that I've reviewed so far. That's not to say you can't be entertained by it, but if you're looking for something that has like a really good centralized story and something that kind of builds to a climax and builds upon itself, it's just unfortunately not here. So I'll wrap it up in the next segment. All right, so that's Sword in the Stone. Not my favorite movie. I watched it as a kid and enjoyed it, but watching it now as an adult, didn't get much out of it. I saw some kind of aimlessness. Didn't feel like it had that central purpose, and it wasn't really tied in throughout the movie. I thought it kind of could have done a lot more with this premise and kind of went into its own thing that never really kind of elevated itself, kind of lived in its own world. And then we jump back to the purpose of the movie, which was the sword in the stone. So not my favorite movie. I think it's worth a watch if you're a Disney fan. Like, you'll get something out of the characters of Merlin and Archimedes and maybe Arthur, and some of the animation, and then the overall very beginning and very end, I thought were really, really strong. So there's something there. It just was not, did not really hit, very high for me here. So some notes about the next episode. If you're talking about Disney animated movies, quote unquote, theatrically released, next would be Mary Poppins. Never seen this movie, but I don't think I'm going to review it. Because I'm trying to stick to animated, fully animated movies. So that's going to bring us to The Jungle Book, 1967. So skipping a full years. I believe this is the last movie that Walt Disney was a part of the production team before he died. So this one will be really interesting to review and sort of talking about a little bit of that as well. So thank you for listening. Always, so you know, check out any other episodes you might be interested in, share, like, rate the podcast. Starting to get some more viewers, so I'm enjoying that, seeing that, and hopefully we'll see you next time. So thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.